T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our good buddy Dane Brugler, draft expert from The Athletic. Dane, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Doing well. Just trying to stay dry down here in Mobile today.
Yeah, no, indoor practice, it's a negative. The media can't watch, Dane. Are you bummed by that?
Yeah, you know, it's the second practice is always important. You know, the first practice, there, you know, a lot of shells, a lot of install. The second practice is really when, you know, the pads get popping. The quarterbacks are usually a little sharper, you know, with a day under their belt. Get some chemistry with receivers down here, the timing. So it's definitely a bummer, but tonight I'll be able to watch the tape of today's practice, hopefully, and get caught up on everything that went down today.
Hey, Dane, when you look at your draft board and you look at the first round, where is the first line of demarcation for you in that first round where you think the talent drops off?
Honestly, it might be a 3, just because I think Bosa and Williams, Quinn and Williams are so, you know, if we're going to just kind of divide this up into tiers,
yeah,
I think 1 and 2 are pretty clear to me. You have Nick Bosa at 1, Quinn and Williams at 2. I think you have 2 top-tier elite players, and then there's just a little bit of a drop-off. You go to the next tier, and that's when you have your Josh Allen from Kentucky, pass rusher, Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State, Ed Oliver, Houston, some strong defensive line talent. Then after you get past that, then, you know, you're probably talking right around where the Browns are set to pick. You know, somewhere in the late teens, that's where I think you probably have another drop-off once we see all those defensive linemen come off the board. And we're going to see 6, 7 defensive linemen come off the board in the top 16, 18 picks.
Hey, Dane, who, in your opinion, is the top prospect here in Mobile?
I think it's Montez Sweat, Mississippi State pass rusher. You know, the moment that Josh Allen from Kentucky pulled out of this game, Montez Sweat became a huge opportunity for him to show what he could do. And I thought he had a good first day of practice yesterday. You know, first he showed out at the weigh-ins, as big as he is, as tall as he is, the length that he has. And he uses that length. You see a lot of long arm moves. We saw that in practice. And his ability, his flexibility and his balance using that length just makes him a big-time pass rusher. He started his career at Michigan State, actually as a tight end, before they moved him to a defensive line, and then had some issues there. Vetting his background will be a big part of it. But JUCO, and then goes to Mississippi State for 2 years, where back-to-back years of double-digit sack seasons in the SEC. So I think he has the resume. And so far, I think through one practice, he's living up to the high billing as being the top pass rusher and the top player here, at least on my board.
Dane, you talk about the line in the first round being around where the Browns draft. And, you know, the Browns are in such a different position than they've been in years. They actually have a pretty good team right now, on the verge of potentially being a playoff team next year. They have 11 draft picks again, but unlike past years, they don't need as many draft picks. Do you think that, like, does it make, is there a guy that you could see the Browns maybe trying to trade up a few picks to get, or is it really that balanced that they're unlikely to try to move up at all?
You keep your options open, and you see how the draft plays out. And I think something that John Dorsey, something that we know over his history is he's open. You know, he's not going to be locked in like some GMs to, you know, staying put and, you know, making the pick or trying to trade out. Or, you know, he's shown in his history he's willing to do a little bit of everything. If there's a player that they really like, you know, say they really like Christian Wilkins from Clemson, you know, that prototypical 3 technique with his ability to that gap quickness, penetrate, get into the backfield, you know, and disrupt what's happening for the offense, he's probably going to go somewhere in the top 15 picks. So if you want a Christian Wilkins, you know, if he gets past outside the top 10, if he's still there at 11 or 12, maybe that's worth giving up,
right?
You know, your third and next year's third to go up and get him. So I think that they're absolutely going to keep their options open, see how the draft plays out. Because, again, we're going to see if they want to go defensive line, the defensive linemen could be wiped out by the time we get to 17, 18, and so it might be their best position to try and trade up a little bit.
Dane Brugler is with us, of course, from the Senior Bowl, not sitting next to me, but he's here somewhere in Mobile, Alabama. Dane, you look at the quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, like, I was talking to some people last night just about, like, Haskins and Locke and these guys. I mean, not a lot of buzz on them, but is there a chance that one of these guys ends up being a really good player in the league?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, to me, Drew Locke is Derek Carr 2.0. I think you see a lot of the same things on tape with the golden arm. You can make every throw just with easy velocity, decent size, decent athlete, but you worry about the mechanics, you worry about the placement, some of the decision making, just need to fine tune things. You know, it's kind of different from snap to snap, I think it's similar to Derek Carr, who, you know, he's had his troubles, but he's also a three-time Pro Bowler and, you know, a highly paid quarterback in the league. And I think Drew Locke can do something similar to that. Daniel Jones, to me, is the interesting one because, you know, very different from Locke, where he doesn't have the huge arm. He has a good arm, but not a great arm. But then you watch his mechanics, and everything's repeatable from his feet to his arm, just everything in his motion. You see the David Cutcliffe influence with the Manning mannerisms that he shows, from the base mechanics to the way he pats the football. I mean, there's a lot of Peyton Manning just when you talk about the fundamentals. With Daniel Jones, very cerebral quarterback. He's accurate in the short to intermediate game. His deep ball needs work. We saw that yesterday in practice. But I think when he gets into the interview portion, I think that's where he's really going to impress some of these teams. And so that's why I think Daniel Jones absolutely has a chance to go in the top 10. Haskins is a guy that's obviously not here, being a redshirt sophomore, not at the Senior Bowl, that, you know, it's going to be interesting. History tells us that there will be a quarterback drafted in the top 5. Over the last 20 years, it's only happened once that a quarterback wasn't taken that high. So history tells us, and probably a team that's going to trade up, because if you look at the top 5 teams, no one really has a dire need at quarterback picking top in a 1-5. So history tells us we're going to see a trade up for a quarterback, and I think Haskins is a favorite at this point. He's got a special arm. I'm watching his tape. I have some concerns about just and the base mechanics, how that affects his accuracy and just the placement on some of his balls. But for a guy with 14 career starts, the special arm like he has, I think there's a lot of optimism about what Dwayne Haskins is, but also what he's going to be 2-3 years from now.
We're talking with Dane Brugler of The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dane, when you look at the Browns' needs at this point, you talk about there being a lot of defensive linemen. Obviously, they could use another edge pass rusher. They probably could use another interior defensive lineman as well. But where else do you see needs that you think the Browns might address in the early rounds?
Yeah, defensive line, I think, makes a lot of sense. Emmanuel Ogba has been an okay player, but I think you can upgrade. No such thing as having too much pass rush. Avery did great as a rookie last year, but again, you could use more there, especially on the interior as well. Another more depth at corner, I think, would be important, especially with Denzel Ward. I mean, you cross your fingers, he's hopefully going to start 16 games for you next year, but you just never know with smaller corners. You can use more depth at safety. Wide receiver, we'll see what they do in free agency. If they look to re-sign some of their own guys, but do they bring in a receiver early? And then offensive line. Baker Mayfield is the most important asset that you have. You need to protect him. You need to do whatever you can to make sure that he's healthy. And so I think in the first round, there's a good bet that they're going to go, best available. And, I think with those, 5-6 positions that we just talked about, it's going to be one of those. It just depends on who's there. I mean, I could see them, going offensive tackle. I think that's possible. A Cody Ford from Oklahoma, who's an absolute stud. One of these defensive linemen that we've been talking about, corner, Byron Murphy from Washington, Greedy Williams from LSU, if he falls that far, he could be on the table. And then when we get to the second and third round, I think there's plenty of guys to talk about. One guy that's here at the Senior Bowl that I think Browns fans need to know, Ronnell Wren from Arizona State, interior guy, really quick first step, awesome upper body strength, power. He's very raw technically, but he reminds me a lot of Chris Jones, who John Dorsey drafted in Kansas City, and he played like a top 5, top 7 defensive tackle in the NFL this year. I think Ronnell Wren flashes a lot of the same ability. And so I think, you know, he's going to probably end up being a day two pick. But he had a great practice yesterday and a guy that I think Browns fans need to know about.
You know, when you look at those wide receivers, you mentioned some names and you talk about the fact that, I agree with you. I think the Browns do need to look at a wide receiver in this draft. You know, it seems like there is not a unanimous top wide receiver. It seems like there's a bunch of guys that are really good, like second-round guys, not like top-end, right. Top 10 picks. You know, do you see that? And listen, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the world. I mean, you can get a really talented guy in the second round or late in the first round, depending on what the Browns end up doing. Assess this group of wide receivers.
But there's a lot of split opinion. You talk to one scout about Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, who's 5'9", 175 pounds, 4'3 athlete, DeSean Jackson mold. You talk to one scout, and he'll tell you he's got a high grade on him, top 15. But then you talk to another scout and say, mid-second round. They're worried about the size. And so, that's something that's going to be a split opinion throughout the league. DK Metcalf from Ole Miss, 6'4", 230 pounds. Going to run in the 4.4s at the combine. He's just an absolute freak show. But as a route runner, in terms of finishing catches, there's some questions there, some inconsistency. Is he worth a top 20 pick? There's going to be a lot of split opinion on that. So I think when you talk about picks 1 through 20, I don't know if we see a wide receiver drafted that early. But between picks 21 and 75, we're going to see maybe double-digit wide receivers off the board at that point. Because I think there's pretty good depth. It's just in that late first, early second round, into the third round. Kelvin Harmon from NC State's in that mix. N'Keal Harry, Arizona State. Riley Ridley from Georgia. Doesn't have the production. It was underutilized at Georgia, but Ridley's little brother. You see the same attention to detail as a route runner. He's not quite as dynamic as Calvin was, but he's bigger, a little more physical. So I think Riley Ridley's also in that group. And then another player, and probably a top player or top wide receiver here in Mobile this week, Andy Isabella from UMass, who, a Northeast Ohio guy. You love the speed. He's more of a slot option. That's where he does his best work. But he was, you basically couldn't cover him yesterday in practice. With that speed, that quickness, his ability as a route runner, he's a smallish target. He's undersized, but a guy that can really help out an offense and stress out the defense.
We're talking with Dane Brugler of The Athletic. Dane, do you see, usually when teams make a big trade up the board, at least to the top five, generally it's for a quarterback. Could you see, with Arizona having so many holes, could you see somebody trying to trade up to the top for Nick Bosa?
I think that's possible. I think have pause is because what's the difference? How much of a gap is there in the minds of teams between Bosa and Josh Allen or Cleveland Farrell or Jachai Polite? These other pass rushers that are in this class who are considered potential top 10, top 12, top 15 guys, is it worth giving up a second round pick to move up? I think that's going to be the big obstacle here. What's Arizona's asking price going to be at number one, especially if the team's not trading up for a quarterback? Are they so willing to get out of that top spot that they'd take maybe a first and a second, or first and a third and a player? Or I think the asking price by Arizona is really going to be the main part of this potential trade, because they're going to have to take a little bit less than what we've seen in the past, because a team not trading up. Probably not trading for a quarterback at one. Maybe, you never know. Like I said, we've always seen quarterbacks go high. We've seen teams trade up. I'm not sure it's going to happen this year. But with Nick Bosa, he's going to be the top player, the crown jewel of this draft. Is someone like him enough, more so than these other pass rushers, to give up something? I'm not sure. But if Arizona stays at one, I don't know. To me, it's a no-brainer. You take Nick Bosa. You feel great about the player you're getting. The big thing for Bosa will be the medicals at the combine, making sure that you get two thumbs up from the trainer that, A, he's healthy right now, and, B, you're not worried about durability in the future. I think it's an interesting wrinkle when you talk about Joey Bosa and how he's been an all-pro when he's healthy, but he's missed time for the Chargers with a foot and with other issues. You talk about their father, John Bosa, who was a first-round pick in 87, but he only played 2 years because of injuries. Is there something, just with the Bosa's, their biomechanics that really makes them more susceptible to injury? It's an interesting wrinkle to the evaluation, But as long as the doctors and the trainers give me two thumbs up, if I'm Arizona, I'm taking Nick Bosa, and I'm feeling great about it.
Dane, do you scout kickers at all? Do you evaluate kickers?
To be honest with you, I treat it, and this is, you know, my mentors in the league, scouts and different people like that, they always told me that the kickers and the punters are the last thing they look at, and most times they give a list to the special teams coaches on their team and say, okay, here's 10 kickers, 10 punters, tell me who you like, that's what we'll go with. And I kind of take the same attitude. I don't know, this year, the kickers out here at the Senior Bowl, LSU kid, he was struggling to hit from 45 yesterday. There's not a great kicking group here at the Senior Bowl. I'm not sure it's a great kicking class overall. But, you know, we'll see as we get later in the process and kickers and punters start to become, you know, more of a priority to look at.
Yeah, it always seems like it's a disaster when one of them goes early. I guess that's not true. Janikowski is pretty good, but still not worth a first-round pick. But the Browns could use a kicker, but we shall see. All right, Dane, great stuff, man. Great work. Love reading your stuff at The Athletic. Thanks for joining us.
All right, enjoyed it, guys. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.